Future-proof extra.
With Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Science Foundation Ireland.
On News Talk.
Now, we all know that daylight can have a positive effect on our health and our mood. Well, the IERC, that's the International Energy Research Centre at Tyndall National Institute, is developing new daylight enhancing techniques. Here to tell me all about it is Professor Brian Norton. Brian, why is daylight good for us?
Yeah, well, a whole range of reasons, but essentially, we obviously, you know, if we see visual stimulus from the outside environment, from having daylight directly for visual tasks, but more interestingly, there's a thing in our eye called an intrinsically photoreceptive ganglia cell, which controls our circadian rhythms. That means that if we get them correct, we sleep well, we eat well, and we're healthier. And unfortunately, traditional electric lighting, the particular wavelengths they have, are dark in the wavelengths that actually control circadian rhythm. Now, I should say there are now artificial lighting manufacturers who have developed lights that do have that, okay? But what we're trying to do is actually get daylight, which has those intrinsic properties that give you both the visual stimulus and non-visual stimulus in a different part of the spectrum, and get that deeper into the room. Particularly on cloudy days. So essentially, daylight is good for our circadian health. It's good for our mood, for our visual health. More generally, and not particularly in buildings, daylight is critical to the development of the eyes in children. And in parts of the world where children spend a lot of time indoors, children get myopia, short-sightedness. It's obviously good for vitamin D production and healthy bones, etc. And globally, the incidence of rickets and diseases like that correlate with exposure to solar radiation. Now, all those things are more to do with the outside environment than the inside environment. But there are a multiplicity of benefits of daylight, some well understood, some less so.
My wife, you could set her mood by the amount of daylight that comes into our house. And it's not, it is quite an extreme thing. And she'll admit this herself. If it is a sunny day and lots of light is coming into our house, she will sort of subconsciously be in a fantastic mood, full of life and full of energy. If it is a very dark day, it is a dark day in every sense. And so it's very clear to me that this has an effect on mood. But our circadian rhythms, as you say, are really important. They allow us to be alert and awake. And a whole load of things happen in the human body when we start to wake up because of circadian rhythm and daylight. So this is really, really important stuff. But how on earth do you redistribute daylight? What exactly is the research about?
Yes, essentially what we're trying to do is get daylight deeper into rooms. You've got plenty of daylight at the window, so that's not the issue, okay? But if you think about getting deeper into the room, you can project it deeper to the room, but you're going to have lots of reflective losses. So the first thing you've got to do is concentrate the light so that you can accommodate those losses that you get as it's transmitted to the room. And essentially we're using two techniques for concentration. And bear in mind, we're trying to concentrate light from diffuse skies. It's very easy to concentrate collimated light, very sharp light. But if you look at light from a diffuse sky, it's more complicated to concentrate that. So we use a combination of what's called compound parabolic concentrators, which are compound parabolic concentrators, which I've just discovered I can't say, and which essentially displace mirrors, and they can concentrate a certain fraction of the diffuse light. And more interestingly, we're using luminescent concentrators. And what they are dyes or quantum dots. In our case, we use quantum dots, so I can explain why in a second, which absorb the light at one wavelength, re-emit at another wavelength, and trap it within a structure. Okay, so and the other advantage of those is because they emit at one wavelength and re-emit at another, and they can be engineered to do that, you can then modify the spectrum to bring out those parts of the spectrum that are good for circadian health as you propagate the light. So
I'm trying to imagine, just give me something visual, because these are all sort of abstract concepts in a way, but essentially you're trying to focus the outside light into the inside of a room. Does it look like is it a satellite dish looking thing, or how do you do that?
No, and I'd avoid the word focus, because we're concentrating diffuse light. So this has got to work, and the test of it is working under overcast skies. So you actually end with brighter sunlight than you actually have outside in the building. Okay, but it's from an overcast sky. So what you see inside is also a diffuse light source. So it's not a concentrated beam or anything. It's a diffuse light source, but it's more intense. but it's more intense than the light outside. Now, what it physically manifests, and this is what we're doing.
I'm thinking about that. And you know, the laws of physics as at the rudimentary level that I understand them, and I don't know how that's possible. So I'm really
it's possible because we're concentrating the light. So essentially, what we have protruded from the building is a kind of shelf that goes above the window. Okay, and you see that commonly to avoid overheating. You know, so you see that kind of shelf emerging as a shady device. Okay, so that would then have properties that absorb the solar radiation and re-emit it at another wavelength and transmit it into the building. So you'll see a shelf coming out of the building. But the key thing, just going back to the laws of physics, is we've got a large shelf, okay, of a certain area. It doesn't really matter. But our emission is going to be a smaller area deep in the building. So we're concentrating from a large area to a smaller area. That's how we're not breaking the laws of physics, right? We're concentrating, this is the key point, the diffuse light, and we're altering its spectrum to be better for circadian health. And what the research is actually about is exactly those things. What is the optimal geometry outside? How far can we project it into the room with a reasonable light output at the other end? To what extent can we modify the light to be better for circadian health, etc.? And one of the materials we're using, a quantum dot, is quite interesting because luminescent materials, you could get dyes that luminesce, but dyes are difficult to engineer, difficult to predict their performance, and also they degrade in UV light, and solar radiation has a lot of UV in it. Yeah. Quantum dots do not degrade in UV.
What is a quantum dot, please?
It's a tiny nanoparticle, so nano-sized, artificially made particle, all right? But the beauty of them is by the size of the quantum dot, essentially, you can determine what wavelength it absorbs and re-emits. So by choosing your quantum dot and the mixture of different quantum dots, one can then get the tune, if you like, as a system to give you the light output you want. Now, what it looks like, and this is going back to your original question, is if you imagine a traditional artificial light luminaire that you see maybe three fluorescent lamps in a unit, okay, you've got that in the ceiling. This will be light traveling above the ceiling, so there'll be a void above the ceiling, and then there'll be a gap through which the light then penetrates, okay? And that can be any shape you desire. Indeed, the shape of that in three dimensions is one of the aspects of the research.
So you've got this shelf on the outside, and then you've got, is it cabling or is it?
No, it's then transmitted just through a ceiling void, which is has reflectors mirrors? Either side. So mirrors. Okay. It has reflectors. Okay. And it might have other things in it, but it might have additional luminescent devices in there to modify the spectrum if we want, okay? But essentially, it's a ceiling void. So you've got a ceiling void through which you then transmit light, and then you have a gap in that ceiling void that lets that light out deeper into the room. And essentially what we're trying to do is see how far we can get good intensities, add depth into the room, and what the trade-offs are in the design of those systems. Because you've got the more concentration you have, obviously the further you can go in the system, into the building, but the more concentration you have, the more the larger the device is outside the building, and you've got costs there. So you've got a range of trade-offs in terms of the reality of these devices.
I'm imagining something like a different shape, but it sounds kind of like a reverse periscope. It's a sort of take in the light and then redirect it somewhere inside.
There's a lot of that kind of idea in this, except that a periscope is working in the visual range to start with, and we're trying to look at the wider range of spectrum. And a periscope is essentially looking at collimated light, the reflection of light, whereas we're trying to look at uncollimated light, the light that's diffuse over the hemisphere. So an overcast day, today where I am anyway, it's fairly overcast, all right? It's that kind, and that presents challenges because you can't use an optical concentrator in an overcast condition. You can't concentrate that. Have you ever tried working with a magnifying lens to concentrate sunlight to burn a bit of paper or something, right? You can only do that on a sunny day.
Yeah. Right?
So we're trying to concentrate from a diffuse sky on a cloudy day. So we need different kinds of optics, which is the compound parabolic concentrator and the luminescent concentrators as the device to do the concentration.
I imagine there's a big energy consumption benefit here as well, right? Because you're using natural light and you're there's no electronics involved in this. Is that right?
No, it's a solid state system. It's robust. It's nothing to fail, as it were. And it displaces electric light consumption. And one of the interesting things is that With the introduction of LEDs, for example, they consume about a fifth of the energy of traditional lighting. So already with low energy lighting, there's a reduction in energy consumption. But one of the interesting things that's happened is you might previously have one incandescent bulb hanging in the middle of a room. If you look at a modern house, it'll have 10 recessed LEDs. All right. So it might have used a fifth of the energy, but you've got 10 of them rather than one of them. So your energy for lighting can actually go up. It's an interesting thing. What's called a rebound effect, you know, that you take advantage of all that energy saving by over-lighting a space, all right? So this is about trying to get that light deep into the room and trying to get it deep into the room under more overcast conditions early and late in the day. It's a traditional light show. If you could actually have a simple mirror outside that reflects light in, and that will get light deep into a room in the middle part of the day on a sunny day, for example. But the real challenge, if you want to displace electric lighting, is trying to get light deep into a room when it's overcast, early, late in the day, etc., under those kind of conditions.
Yeah. So where are you in terms of the research? Have you managed to make this work? Do you have a proof of concept model?
So this area of research, in terms of modifying the spectrum it was an area that I worked with Professor Sarah McCormack in Trinity College Dublin for a larger number of years. And originally we did work for this for photovoltaics, again, which have a particular spectrum. And we modified the spectrum of solar radiation using luminescent contrast, using quantum dot devices for photovoltaic systems. So the concept has its origins there. Now, here you've got a different application, daylight, a different spectrum, and a physically different system, okay? But the idea has its roots there. And where we're at present is we have some materials that have been developed and evaluated in Trinity College Dublin. We have an outdoor test cell, which is a full-scale room, which has been instrumented to then test those devices. And we've another PhD student who's just joined us, and she'll be looking at modelling these systems so that it can say, you know, all the what ifs if you change all the variables in terms of what would be the optimal design. So that's where we are. I'd say at the fairly early stages of the research, and it'll progress for the next 3 or 4 years to produce outcomes.
Okay, it sounds really, really interesting. And of course, even if it doesn't provide all of the light that you might need at the back of a dark room that doesn't normally get daylight, it will certainly reduce the amount of light that's required in these modern, efficient buildings where you're looking at a certain lux, right? And you want to reach a certain amount of light that's required and pay for no more, essentially. So it sounds like it could be a fantastic complementary technology to work alongside adaptive systems that can measure how much light is in the room and reduce the energy as the sensors realize there's more.
Exactly. The other thing is also in our particular settings, care homes for the elderly, hospital settings, etc., where the getting light levels, getting things around circadian health are actually health critical issues.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in certain sense, you might say this is a kind of first world problem, whether you have the right mood or not. No, for many people, this is actually a critical health issue. And there are, in certain countries, whole departments of what's called chronobiology, where they look at these kind of issues from a health, particularly for the young and particularly for the elderly. And this has the generic application, if you will, that we're modifying with a particular view in mind, but the idea of being able to modify and project light, we could modify and project light, you know, of any spectrum, depending on what a physician might actually want. So if a clinician said, actually, can you do this? It would be a matter of selecting, once we've got all this developed, it might be selecting the right materials and the right geometry and being able to do that. So we're actually forming a foundation for something which could be useful in a lot of very specific contexts.
No, absolutely. And we think of hospitals often as being, they can be quite dark. And if you are taking medicine, we know that there is a good time to take medicine where it's more effective. And that has a relationship with your circadian rhythm. So really interesting research, and the best of luck with it. Great to speak with you, Professor Brian Norton from the Tyndall National Institute. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae,
proudly supported by Science Foundation Ireland
on News Talk.